Hello, welcome to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. And on today's episode, we're going to get to know mortal enemies, the LA Kings. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked on Sharks.
Your Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young, contributor at Fear the Fin in San Jose Hockey Now. I want to thank you for making us your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And on today's episode, I have Eddie from Locked on Kings. We're going to kind of talk about the Kings, their rise in the Pacific, where they kind of fit in, and just kind of get to know the Kings and kind of what their strengths and weaknesses are heading into this 2022-2023 season. But I do want to let you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline's got you covered this season with more props and odds and lines than before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Without further ado, let's bring in Eddie right now so we can talk about the Kings, get to know the enemies down south. And now we bring in Eddie Garcia of Locked on Kings to talk about the LA Kings and get you guys ready with our, as we continue our get to know the enemy preview of the entire Pacific Division. Eddie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's good to meet you. Good to talk to you. And good to talk a little Kings Sharks action.
Yes, it's, you know, the rivalry isn't what it used to be, but at least the Kings should at least be holding out their end of the bargain here soon. So let's talk about the Kings, who are a very fun and interesting team. They've been, of course, last year they made the playoffs. They finished third in the Pacific with 99 points. But then did lose, you know, to Edmonton there, but in a pretty well fought series, I think, with Edmonton. But I think definitely was ahead of the schedule last year. It kind of felt like with the team, especially with the young talent, and now they've added some more depth, more talent to that team this year. So let's start with the offseason. What do you think was the biggest move of the offseason for the Kings?
Yeah, it's a pretty obvious one, picking up Kevin Fiala from Minnesota, you know, trading for his rights and then signing him to the long-term extension. If you asked most Kings fans what was their number one priority, what was their wish list, it was, I think, the same as what Rob Blake addressed, and that was a top-line scoring left winger. And, you know, Alex Iafallo was a guy that was playing there, and he just wasn't, you know, up to that role. He's a good player, but he's not that kind of a player, especially for a Kings team that is offensively challenged. You know, their bread and butter is defense, but they have to address their scoring issues. And they absolutely did that with a guy who, you know, he did have a career year last year in Minnesota. Kevin Fiala, he had 33 goals and 85 points. Those were by far his career highs. And he wasn't playing on the top line in Minnesota. Nope. He wasn't playing with Kirill Kaprizov. I mean, he was playing with Frederick Gaudreau and Matt Baldy. You know,
Good. Baldy's going to be good.
He's a good up and coming young player, yeah. But yeah. I think he's taken a step up with his teammates, with his line mates for this coming season, which will be Andre Kopitar and Adrian Kempe. So will he have those same types of numbers? I think it's realistic to expect him to have somewhere in the ballpark. I mean, that was a huge jump for him. I think he had 10 more goals and like 30 more points than his previous career high. But again, he's going to be getting top line minutes now. He's going to be playing with bit better players. So, but again, yeah, that was the need the Kings needed to address. They needed a scorer on that top line on the left wing, and they absolutely did it in getting Kevin Fiala.
Yeah, and that was one of those weird trades where I liked the trade for both teams, you know, especially with the Kings where they have such a deep – Dakota says hi. She apparently didn't like the trade, but we have the Kings. They have such a deep prospect pool where you can trade one of these defensemen, you know, to and then a first round pick, because it's like, you know what, we've been drafting so well for the past few years. This is kind of where you can kind of start to go in and you know, Fiala is a perfect fit with these guys where, you know, he's just turned 26, or, you know, he's 26. He's not like he's this old guy. He's going to be able to fit in with you guys for the next few years. So yeah, and with Minnesota, where they had to do something, right? I mean, I think getting getting Fabry back and then the first round pick, that's a win for both teams in this situation, right?
Yeah, I mean, Bill Guerin said it wasn't like they wanted to lose Kevin Fiala, but if they were going to re-sign him, they're going to lose two players that they didn't want to lose. So it just was a numbers game for them. You know, I know that they're, you know, a bit of a knock on Fiala is he can be streaky, and then he hasn't really performed in any of the playoff games that Minnesota has been, you know, involved in. But all that aside, it still seems like a great deal for the Kings. And I think for Minnesota, a player that they knew they were going to have to lose, not bad return, especially Brock Faber is a Minnesota kid playing at the University of Minnesota. They always, you know, enjoy that type of thing, keeping the kid at home and playing there. And he's likely going to be a solid NHL player in the near future for Minnesota. But as you said, the Kings had plenty of right defense that they could afford to give up. They still have Brant Clark in the system. They still have young guys like Jordan Spence and Sean Durzi that have gotten a taste of NHL action this year. So there were a lot of places that they could go to lose, if you want to say that, and that from that position. So it made sense. And it was the biggest need that the Kings addressed, and they addressed it.
Yeah. And like, I love Brant Clark. I loved him in that draft. And if the Sharks didn't, you know, pick Eklund, Clark was right up there on my wish list for the Sharks. But, you know, so with the Kings, you know, they had, again, another pretty solid draft. I know they didn't have that first round pick, but they did have a really solid draft as well. You know, again, kind of adding to this young talent. So how would you kind of grade the offseason for the Kings as a whole?
I mean, I'd give it a solid B, if not a B+. I don't think you could give it an A, because there was there has been a lot of talk about addressing a left-handed shot on a left-handed defenseman. I have one
Mark Edward Vlasic, if you would like.
Well, yeah. Maybe a few years ago, I would have been okay with that, but not so much right now. But yeah, they've got, you know, there's been a ton of smoke around Jacob Chychrun with Arizona. It's mm-hmm. become almost cliche at this point. And I'd love to have him, obviously, a young guy who's got a reasonable contract for a few more years. I'm sure he'd be highly motivated to leave Arizona and go on a team that's up and coming. But from everything I'm hearing, Arizona wants a top level prospect, which would mean Brant Clark or Quinton Byfield. And the Kings are not willing to give up either of those guys at this point. So while that trade does make a lot of sense, apparently the asking price is just too high. The Kings have said there's no way they're moving one of those guys. Maybe a lot of other guys are available, but for now, Arizona's holding firm, I guess, on what they want. And so there's still a need for the Kings on the left side on defense, but they do have a ton of right side guys, and you know, they'll probably put somebody over there on the left side. I know it's not the ideal situation, but for now, that's I think they're willing to see how it plays out before they feel like they got to go out and make a move and address that situation. So solid B to B+, I would say, for Rob Blake in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I can't agree. You know, I'm not trading Quinton Byfield for Jacob Chychrun, and I'm not trading Brant Clark, who I think is going to be like potential Norris caliber type of defenseman.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're you know, this is asking a lot, but I think the Kings' ultimate plans are Byfield replaces Kopitar and Brant replaces or Clark replaces Doughty. I mean, that's kind of the huge big picture, but I think they think that much of those two guys that they have the potential to actually do that.
Yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't think otherwise of those two guys. So, all right, guys, before we continue our conversation with Eddie, we continue to dig into the Kings and what this season kind of looks for them and kind of what their strengths and weaknesses are. Do you want to take a quick break and talk to you guys about our friends over at Bet Online? You guys know Bet Online is the number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find out the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including opening lines for week one. BetOnline's also got you covered for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. They're the fastest and easiest way to check out all your favorite sports and events, including MMA. You got MLB playoffs right around the corner, NBA starting up soon, boxing, golf. So head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so you kind of mentioned, you know, their weakness on the left side of the defense. What do you, other than that, what do you think is maybe their biggest kind of question or battle going into training camp?
I think it's without question goaltending. Jonathan Quick is another year old. He had a nice season last year, but you know how that is. I know we saw Mike Smith as 40 years old just help Edmonton for a deep playoff run. So it's possible, but, you know, the Kings are kind of, they've been preparing for Jonathan Quick, you know, declining. Which
for another 10 more years, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, there's a lot of thought. This is his last year of his contract. So mm-hmm. is he going to do the Dustin Brown and end his career, having played all of his career with the Kings and ride off into the sunset, so to speak, and having won a couple of Stanley Cups, obviously Conn Smythe Trophy and all that. But he's a very competitive guy. He may still feel like he has a little hockey left in him. It remains to be seen. But Cal Peterson is a guy they signed, and he had a three-year contract that kicks in this year. They're paying him $5 million a year, and he has not established himself as a number one goaltender at this
that's
point.
That's a lot for
it. It is a lot. As a matter of fact, other than if Carey Price plays, then Montreal would have the highest paid goalie tandem. If he doesn't play, it's the Kings. So, you know, they're paying over $10 million for their goaltenders this coming season. And that's for one guy who's aging quickly and another guy who hasn't proven himself. So the Kings last year thought, their talent evaluators thought that Cal Peterson was going to claim the number one job and prove he was deserving of this contract they signed him to. That did not happen. At the end of the year, it was Jonathan Quick that was playing the better hockey, and he got all the starts in the playoffs. So, you know, they've invested in Cal Peterson for the next 3 years, and they're paying a decent price for him. So either he needs to assert himself and claim that number one job this year, and then see where we do, what we do after the end of the season with Jonathan Quick, or the Kings are going to have to look elsewhere to find a goaltender. So that's a big question mark for me is, will Cal Peterson finally assert himself, or are we going to have this rotating 1A, 1B situation like we had last year?
Yeah. I mean, I think in today's hockey, you need to have, unless you have like a Vaskola or one of those like top guys, you need to have, you know, a pretty like 60-40 type of split with the things. But yeah, you would think with how much they've invested, you know, with their time and with that salary cap for Peterson, he would hopefully be the 60% guy here. And then, right. You know, if you have an overpaid Jonathan Quick, I mean, that's fine. We lived the Martin Jones years of way overpaid for a salary, but it, you know, if he's your second guy or your backup guy, it's not the end of the world, right? You can kind of work around that. But yeah, I forgot how that they had paid him and that contract had gone through with Peterson. So that's a little shocking there, especially with the Kings, who have been as of late much, much better, I would say, with taking care of their cap space and, you know, kind of being a lot smarter with it going through their rebuild. So other than the goaltending, and you mentioned the left side, how about the forwards? Do you kind of feel like, you know, the lines are pretty much set with them, or is there going to be some camp battles?
I think it's the top, I would say the top nine forwards are pretty much set in stone, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got maybe two positions available on the fourth line, and there's a lot of guys who, you know, they need to prove whether they're going to be NHL caliber players. And I don't know that they're going to get the minutes to do that. A guy like Gabe Vilardi, who we may talk about a little bit later, depending on what you want to ask me about guys who are kind of in the crosshairs as far as put up or shut up. But yeah, I think the Kings are very, very much set with their top three lines. I think they're three very solid lines. And then the fourth line, you know, they're hoping to just kind of have an energy unit or whatever. But yeah, there are a couple of guys like Vilardi, Jarrett Anderson, Dolan, Rasmus Kupari. All these guys are vying for minutes, and I don't know how many minutes they're going to get, to be honest, maybe on a fourth, maybe a third line. I mean, there's always injuries. Victor Arvidsson is coming off back surgery. If he's not ready to go at the beginning of the year, then maybe those guys slot up and get a little more ice time and get a chance to prove what they're worth. But yeah, it's pretty much set for forwards for the LA Kings right now.
Gotcha. All right. So going into this season, the Kings, so you kind of mentioned, you know, their strengths and weaknesses. So you think their weakness is still going to be scoring goals? Do you think that's something that they should vastly improve on with Fiala entering the fray?
Well, they should improve on it. Vastly. I don't know if that's the case, but the power play is a huge weakness for him. They hired a new assistant coach in Jim Hiller to come in and run the power play. He ran the Islanders power play last year. They were seventh in the NHL. The Kings were 27th in the NHL last year. The Islanders were 12th in the power play last year. So this is a guy who's run power plays before in Detroit and Toronto. He's had success at it. The Kings kind of demoted Marco Sturm to the head coach of their AHL team in Ontario. So he's not running the power play anymore. So they bring Jim Hiller in after Barry Trotz gets blown out in New York, and he was looking for a job. So I think we're all very interested to see what he can do with this power play. It's hard to believe that it won't be any better, especially with fingers crossed for us, a healthy Drew Doughty, you know, on the top there, running the power play, quarterbacking it, if that's the case. So yeah, that is, you know, for a team that is offensively challenged, you've got to have a decent power play if you're going to do anything in the postseason. And we saw, if you watch that series against Edmonton, their power play obviously was insane.
Yeah, their power play is a little different. Yeah.
Right, and ours is terrible. So that was, it was a 7-game series, and that was the difference in the series. It's, and if you watch the Stanley Cup final, I mean, look at Colorado's power play and how they perform. So I mean,
it's a different sport when they when they're on the power play.
Yeah, I mean, they just wear you out. It's like you know, they wear you down and then finally score after you're completely, you know, you can't get any line changes because can't clear the puck. But anyway, the Kings need a little more offense. They go out and get Kevin Fiala, and they bring in this Jim Hiller as an assistant to run the power play and hopefully improve that, because that is a glaring weakness for them.
And then you think their biggest strength will be?
I think it's still defense. The Kings were 7th in goals allowed last year, and that was with a lot of rotating guys coming in and out of the blue line. Mm-hmm. With Drew Doughty missing half the season, with Sean Walker missing almost the whole season, Alex Edler and Mikey Anderson missed time as well. And so they called up some guys that were really green, like Sean Durzi and Jordan Spence. And you got a guy like Tobias Bjornfoot, who's a young guy back there.
Sorry.
So, you know, again, they'll lean on the defense. Even with just okay goaltending, the defense was still very good. Mm-hmm. So that's their calling card. And again, if the defense is a little healthier, which it should be, you know, just law of averages,
yep.
Then I think they're going to be, again, a top 10 defensive team in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, you hope too. Also, if your forwards are much better, it takes a lot of pressure off your defense. Where, you know, especially if Fiala's in there, and you can kind of have some more zone time, your defense isn't having to kind of carry the load here. And especially like you said, with all the injuries they faced, I remember when they played the Sharks, I think it was like in February or something like that. They literally had nobody back there. It was just a bunch of the Sharks went like shut them out, but it was because they literally had nobody in the defensive zone that had played much in NHL games. So hopefully you get some more offense, or some more healthy defense and more offense, should lead to a much more balanced Kings team this year. All right, guys, before we finish up with Eddie and kind of look at where the Kings fit in the Pacific and kind of how we see the Pacific stacking up, I do want to take a quick break and with a message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. If you're one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit. It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is your reaction time slows way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. So what do you think is the best case scenario for this Kings team? And then what is the worst case? Oh my God, what has happened scenario?
Well, I think the best case scenario is one of the goaltenders asserts themselves. They're healthier on the blue line. The power play improves. And I think they're in solid good shape. Worst case scenario is, you know, and it's the thing you can't predict, injuries to key players. Neither one of the goaltenders asserts themselves. The power play still hasn't improved at all. And then they're battling for a playoff spot. And I don't, you know, is the Pacific going to only get three in again? I think it's a possibility. I don't know that they could make it in as a wild card team, but if everything doesn't go the way we hope it is, then I think that they're one of those teams that's battling for a final wild card spot, or maybe battling for third, and maybe they just miss out. I mean, that is an interesting question with the Kings, because everyone, look, I did not predict the Kings to make the playoffs last year. Not many people did.
My former co-host Kyle did. He said Kings were going to be the playoffs last year.
Well, he's a rare exception, because a lot of people didn't, and understandably so. I thought that they were a year away. So the question is, did they overachieve, or are they on track? And that's a question that will be answered this year. If they can become a playoff team again, then I think the on track is the right answer to that question. But they did, you know, they had a lot of guys had career years last year. Philip Deneau had a career year. Adrian Kempe had a career year. Trevor Moore had a career year. You're bringing in a guy, Kevin Fiala, who had a career year. Are they all going to have career years again? Are they all going to maintain those numbers? The hope is that they're somewhere around those numbers again. But if they step back to what their career averages have been, then that's not going to be a good thing. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, right now, our friends over at BetOnline, they have the Kings' eighth best odds to win the Stanley Cup at plus 2,000, which is a little shocking at first. But then if you think about it, it's like you said, you know, but the big thing is like, what if Quentin Byfield makes that big step that we're expecting him to make, you know, eventually make? And, you know, maybe these guys, they don't have the same career years, but if they're kind of in the ballpark of what they've been playing, then you can kind of see the Kings really take that step forward. And if Cal Peterson is the guy that they're paying him to be, then that could be it. So
agreed.
What do you think? Who do you think is kind of like the wild card player for this season? Or did I just kind of give it away a little bit there?
You know, it's funny. I think the answer to a lot of these type of questions could be Quentin Byfield, but I'm not going to go that way. I'll make it a little bit different. And I'll say Gabe Vilardi, who I mentioned earlier, former first round pick, 11th overall. And he's had a tough time transitioning from center to wing. And just when he's gotten his opportunities, which haven't been frequent at the NHL level, he hasn't done much with it. They sent him down to the AHL for extended time last year, and he did a pretty good job playing wing. So hopefully he can carry that forward. But again, time's running out on him. I mean, they invested a first round pick in him. You don't want to, you know, you like to see those guys obviously make it to the NHL level, but I think he's the type of guy, they signed him to a 1-year deal. I think this is it for him. And I don't know how much of an opportunity he's going to get. So the times that he does get his opportunities, and I got to believe he's a very motivated player at this point, he knows he's going to really have to show it, or else it's going to be one of those situations where, hey, this guy's a former first round pick. Somebody else will give him an opportunity. We'll give him the minutes and see what he can do. The Kings did this a couple years ago with Elias Anderson, who was a top 10 pick for the Rangers. And they were like, oh, let's change the scenery. Maybe he plays with different players and it works out. He hasn't done anything. He's been the same guy in LA that he was in New York. So I'll say wild card player is Gabe Vilardi. Again, very motivated to finally prove he was worth that investment of a first round pick. But so far really hasn't shown it. And again, time's running out for him because there's other younger players that are ready to get their opportunity. So we'll see.
And then which player do you think it makes a big leap this year?
You know, I don't know if you mean like make the big leap from non-NHL player to NHL player. I don't know if there is that guy this year for the LA Kings. There's a kid in Ontario named Samuel Fagamo, who a lot of fans and experts are plugging that this guy is going to be a very good NHL player in the near future. But I don't think it's not this year. He's still a few years away. I would say maybe Arthur Kaliev is a guy who is going to be, I think, the right winger on the third line. He's going to get a lot of time. He's got a exceptional shot at the NHL level. He's going to be on the second power play unit. And I think he's a guy who, gets a full, 78 to 82 games or whatever this year, can put up some pretty good numbers. I think, the Kings looking for that extra offense as well. Usually you don't maybe get that from your third line guys necessarily, but I think he's a guy who has shown he can be at least a second line player at this point. He's not going to be obviously unseating a Victor Arvidsson, but if Arvidsson's back is an issue, they could slot him up into that second line on the right wing. And I think he'd hold his own up there. So I think I'll pick him, Arthur Kaliev, as a guy who I think could make a big splash this year. Again, he's got an exceptional shot, an NHL level shot. And he's a guy who I think he's just starting to realize it. You know, he's starting to understand, I've got to shoot. I've got a good shot. And I need to, you know how young players are sometimes. They look to defer a little bit more. But he's a guy who I think the coaches are telling him, hey, you shoot it. You've got the shot.
Take shoot. It. Yeah. All right. Where do the Kings finish in the Pacific?
I think they're probably going to finish third again. I think they're going to be a fashionable pick. You talked about the betting odds in Vegas, and I think a lot of people will probably pick Edmonton 1 and the Kings 2. I don't know that. I know Calgary has obviously had their losses.
Yep.
But I still think they're solid. They still have the best goaltender in the division, I think. And I still think they're going to be right there for second or third. I think the Kings and Flames battle it out for second and third. I think Edmonton wins the division with the upgrade they had in goal. And of course, with Connor McDavid being Connor McDavid.
He's pretty good.
unbelievable. Yeah. And then after that, Vegas with Robin Leonard going down. I mean, they were killed with injuries last year and they haven't even played a game yet. And now they've lost their goaltender for the whole season. They have their issues as well. They let Max Pacioretty go for nothing, obviously. So they're a wild card. I think they could be in the mix as well. And then you've got the rest of the Pacific Division. You understand
that. Yeah, I mean, I still think the Pacific's going to be much better this year. I think it's going to be a little bit deeper. You know, Anaheim's up and coming. You know, some of their young players, Zegras, Mason McTavish playing a full season with Anaheim. That's a pretty solid one, too. And with the Kraken, you know, Matty Beniers and Shane Wright, you can't start a franchise off much, much better than that, I think. You know, I love Matty Beniers last year, and Shane Wright was the presumed number one pick for until literally the last 12 hours, I guess, you know, type of situation. So, and then the Sharks, which are doing Sharks things. And I think they're going to be, as I've said before on this podcast, I think they're going to be one of the five worst teams in the NHL. And we're going to be looking, we're going to be right there in the mix for the Connor Bedard sweepstakes. So yes, but Eddie, where can the people find you?
Well, you know, I'm on Twitter at Eddie on Fox. I do work overnights for the Fox Sports Radio Network. If you're a night owl, if you work the third shift and you're looking for some fun sports talk, you know, the Ben Maller Show is a show I've been on for many, many years. Just a lot of fun. You wouldn't believe the it's one of, you know, a lot of sports talk radio shows don't take calls much anymore. We take calls, and you wouldn't believe.
I'm sure the nighttime calls are very, very sane. Nothing crazy. No.
Yeah, it's not unusual to go to callers who have fallen asleep. It's not unusual to have callers who have enjoyed themselves with some sort of adult
substance
beverage of their choice. You never know what you're going to get, but it is a lot of fun. You can check that out on any of your local Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And also I do a podcast called The Puck Podcast. I've been doing it for a lot of years, a weekly NHL recap show that you can check out if you're interested in talking about the whole league.
All right. I hope you enjoyed conversation with Eddie about the Kings. You know, I think they're going to be probably in that second tier in the Pacific, but I think they're pretty safe to say they're going to be a playoff type of caliber team. Maybe that third, it's not a wild card spot, but I think the goaltending is the big question with them, right? If Jonathan Quick, and Cal Peterson, who they paid a lot of money and hasn't really kind of been the guy that they're hoping to be. So we'll see with the Kings. But that's going to do it for today. We'll be back next week. So make sure you guys are following along on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, over at Locked on Sharks. That way you know when the next episodes are coming out. We're going to be digging into this Timo Meier. What do we do with the contract? Does he sign a contract? We're going to kind of go through all the branches of what Timo Meier's season might look like this year. So make sure you guys are ready for that. And then we're going to also continue. We got two more teams left now on our Get to the Enemy. We got the Ducks. We got the Golden Knights. So we got two teams left that we're going to be covering off here the next couple of weeks. And then we're going to be back to five episodes a week, if you believe it or not. So, and then hockey season starts. I can't believe it's already almost here again. So yeah, make sure you guys are subscribed wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, all those places. They've got you covered. YouTube as well. You know, we a lot of good stuff. Episodes coming on YouTube first. So if you want to be part of the premieres, YouTube is the way to go. It's the future. And then when you guys are done listening to this episode, go check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. Local team experts on Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combined to see the Ultimate NFL Preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get podcasts. That'll do it for me. I'm on Twitter at MyFryHole. We'll be back next week. Until then, bye, friends.